This is why we must be like a babe, and that's the secret of trust. Trust is there. But you got to be like a babe when you're wise and prudent. See, a man of faith, you can do all kind of things, all kind of miracles. You begin to expect things to be to go a certain way, and then the Lord, he won't flip the script on you, but he prepared you to enter into another glory, another logical and ways of thinking that you may not know. And it's going to be word based. He's not going to guide you around the word. It's going to be word based. Every time he ever taught me something, I found scriptures to support it. Now remember, I had a holiness Pentecostal mind, and I kept seeking the Lord. Some things, and if you've been around holiness Pentecostals, everything they do is not sound doctrine. They mean well, but they try hard, but that's why if they do a great work of God, they got to stay in that prayer room to overcome the culture and the mindset that they're wise and prudent. But when you become like a babe to the point that God can train you, you have to unlearn some things. You know, my first challenge, I had a Methodist mind. And that challenged me to go to a holiness church. But because I met Mom Powell and she had a relationship with the Lord, I was after that relationship. So I assumed that the holiness people, because she was Pentecostal, she went to a Church of God in Christ, I think. I think that's the kind of church that's the kind of holiness church she went to. She was very wise, though. She was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And in that culture, you have all kind of rules and regulations. Women don't wear pants, makeup, jewelry, and, you know, in the early version, now, the church I went to, they didn't care about sports and movies and things like that. Some people, the older people, didn't want you to do that. And now, to tell people you can't go to movies and you know, you're going to hell for going to a movie, a football game, basketball game, that's ludicrous. But you know, when you have that mindset and you're in that culture, it's hard when everybody you respect is believing something else and you think they're right and you're wise and prudent. Now, you know, and it's not God's will. And the Lord, he taught me things. I knew that was crazy. When they said you can't go to sports and movies, you know. And then the women, the dress code. I went through that phase where I thought they were right. I thought they knew what they were doing. But it caused problems. And I kept seeing it. I said, Lord, why did you put that scripture, Deuteronomy 22:5, in the Bible in the first place? Because they took it out of context. He said that scripture is there for the homosexuals. And then it made sense. Only the homosexuals would desire to dress like the same sex to attract. They'll dress like the opposite sex. A man will try to dress like a woman to attract another man. Or a woman will try to be masculine to attract a woman. And God, this is the things that people did in Egypt and in the worldly places. They just did everything. It was disgusting. They did. When you read the law, Moses had to give them a law because they had been in a lawless culture, and they were prone. When Moses went up to on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, they were partying. I mean, and they made a golden calf. They just do anything. They were wild. They needed a law. If God was going to keep the covenant he made with Abraham. So he had to give them a law. And when you read the law, and they were seduced by the culture. So, and people had fears and they made these laws in the holiness church and Pentecostal churches, circles. And I had to renew my mind, and the Lord had to teach me and train me. And the people that helped me do it the most, ministry-wise, were Word of Faith preachers, because they spent time with the Lord. But the Lord taught me these kind of things. He trained me. He began to train me, and as I listened to them, they were more like what I was hearing in the prayer room. So, trusting God can take you out of the debauchery of negative culture. And there's a lot of good things that happen in the Holiness Church. I saw miracles in the Holiness Church. I saw people get breakthroughs. I saw demons being cast out. And I remember me and Elder May, when we started counting, there was 16 demons. Actually, it was more than that, because more demons came out before we started counting. Anyway, nevertheless, saw miracles after miracle, heard about miracles, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, all kind of glorious things happening. And but the Holiness Church, they didn't always welcome the Word of Faith Church. They had misunderstandings. So when you tell somebody your background, well, I went to a Methodist church. Oh, you got to, they see you with you got a Methodist mind. Of course you do. Then, but I went to a Holiness church. Oh, you got a Holiness. Oh, you one of them. But when you spend time with the Lord, God is able to correct things that need to be corrected, and He'll usher you into the next glory. Now, this needs to happen for not only Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic, Holiness churches, and Word of Faith Church. Everybody needs this relationship with the Lord, and trust Him like a babe, and ask pure questions so God can show us His ways. Now, years ago, I remember A.A. Abrams, he prayed a lot and fasted a lot, and he was able to do great miracles. And I believe in prayer. I'm not diminishing what he did or what Catherine Kuhlman did. And a lot of people want to do what Catherine Kuhlman did. And she said, well, you got to give God everything. But I'm going to put it this way. Some people would take that and say, well, if I do that, I can't be married or I can't have children. I got to give up everything for it. No, you don't. You got to, all you have to do is trust God like a babe and do whatever He say do. And He will usher you into whatever glory you need to enter into. He'll train you for it, and then you'll become anointable to carry such an anointing. But start with what He already gave you. Now, whatever He gave you can satisfy the whatever God gave you can multiply into God's perfect will. You start with what He gave you, and you be faithful, thoroughly faithful, and ask God, help me do all this in your heart. That the first time I prayed that prayer was the hardest time I ever prayed it. Or confessed. It was really a confession. I was about to say, Lord, help me do whatever you want me to do. And I just took it a step further. I said, Lord, help me do all that's in your heart. I'm asking and confessing that I would do all that's in His heart, believing that He would train me, prepare me, help me come to the point where I will do all this in His heart. Because the time is close. In 2017, He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. And I hadn't heard language like that. I knew it was God. And I wanted more time. And God honored my request. I didn't want to ask God not to come, because I know He's coming. He taught me this. He's coming at the most strategic moment. But I knew we needed more time. And then God appeared to Kevin Zadie in a vision. The father said to the son, all right, let's rapture the church. And Kevin said, I said, Lord, we need more time. That's how my heart was. I wanted more time to do God's work. So when I was, and it's been, 2017, 5 years now, since then. So, We need to, I said, the time, I don't need any more near misses. I need to make sure I hit the mark every time I do whatever God say do. So the thing is this, I don't trust myself to do it. I trust him. That's why I confess that I do all this in his heart. And that's really writing God a blank check. Now, I'm a businessman, and I have customers that they know that I got to make a parts list and find out what all the parts are going to be and whatever. They'll just write me a blank check. Now, they trust you when they do that. And it's humbling every time somebody do that. I say, wait a minute, you don't want to wait till, no, I trust you. And they hand me a blank check. I fill out what I said, well, I'll call you and tell you what I'm going to fill out. It's humbling. So when you tell God, help me do all this in your heart, or you confess that I will do all this in his heart, or in God's heart, you're writing God a blank check. And the thing about doing that, if you can trust God like a babe, you can do anything. Now, Luke 10 gave us that clue, and most people don't run with it. But if you trust God from this point on, now, I don't trust myself to trust God like that. That's why I use those Charles Capps confessions. You know, he was a great mentor to me. I listen to him every day just like I listen to Kenneth Hagin every day. And I think he came on right before Kenneth Hagin. And, you know, I listen to all these wonderful men of God. But if you go to the next, the only reason the pastors that didn't go to God's perfect will for them, they were in God's perfect will, but it was time to go to the next glory. And they couldn't enter into it unless God trained them. They have to be able to be like a babe at that point. Forget all your wise and prudent, all the past. You know, look to the Lord now. Now, there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All right? Some people get hung up on, which office is the best. It's not. I know apostles is first. Everybody's not cut out to be an apostle and wouldn't want to be. And every apostle I know personally that have that calling, they tried to run from it or not acknowledge it, but they got the anointing and it's obvious. And they don't, because they don't want the stigma to go with it, they want to be welcomed by people. They don't like to call themselves an apostle, which they really are. But the problem is they're not being trained for that office. You must be faithful with the office God give you and not run from it. And then people that's called to be a teacher. Well, I'm just a teacher. I'm not important. You are very important. Stephen, being stoned, where do you think the pricks that Paul was kicking against came from? Paul was blessed by Stephen, and he was a deacon. He taught Paul with one message. So it's not about status. You can't serve God with a satanic mind. Satan looks at stuff like that. Well, God give you, if you're a teacher, and some people say, well, that's the lowest office. No, it's not. Teachers teach apostles. Teachers teach prophets. Teachers teach pastors. Teachers teach evangelists. It's, you know, teachers teach teachers. And people that's not even called to the fivefold ministry that end up being great businessmen and great leaders in the community. Thank God for the full gospel businessmen. A lot of good came out of that organization. So what did God give you? Just be faithful with it. There are some teachers, they're going to be rewarded much heavier than apostles because they were unfaithful. You got to be faithful with what God gives you. And the failure is not entering into the next glory. And they don't enter into the next glory because they don't trust God. Israel was, they did everything Moses said, but they didn't trust God. And it caused them not to enter the promised land. It wasn't that they didn't believe him, or they acted on everything Moses said do. But they didn't trust him enough to go into that next glory, which happened to be the promised land. They listened to 10 spies over the 2 faithful spies. Joshua and Caleb told the truth. The rest of them made them doubt. And they couldn't enter in. And that's not necessary. That doesn't need to happen to you. We need to enter into the glories of God. Every one of us, and every time he prompts us to do so. These are the dynamics of trust. Trust is a noun. It's reliance. It doesn't do any work. It sits on God's couch. It looks to the Lord. You know how the rock stars, they fall off the stage knowing that the crowd's going to catch them. When you trust God, you're in his arms and you're not going to be dropped. So when you act, when you begin walking into that next glory, when you act on his word, because you trust him, trust comes from the past, then he's going to train you and call as you enter into that next glory, and he's going to teach you all about it. And you'll come out of the negative mindsets that held you back and that holds other people back. See, people are going to stay in those mindsets until somebody break through. They got to see people breaking through. Holiness Church people are very limited in their ways, and God can't sanction them for greater things. Baptist people are very limited in their ways, and God can't sanction them for greater things. Methodist people are very limited in their ways, and God can't sanction them for greater things. So it is with Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, and even Word of Faith. People get to a point that they stop moving. When you're not moving forward, everything of God is forward. God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. If you're not entering into a new glory, ask God why. And go back and try to remember the last thing he told you to do. And trust him on it this time. If it's not too late. For some people, that ship is sailed. You're just going to have to trust him. Now the Lord, he promised me something. People that missed opportunities in that ship, they missed their Rebecca moment. They didn't. Now he told me this. The glories that they wished that they should have entered into, they didn't. God had to raise up new people to do it. If any of those pastors that knew me back in the 90s, that or anybody that missed their previous glories, because they didn't, they tried to trust God or believe God with a prudent, wise, and prudent mind, and they didn't trust him like a babe, and they didn't enter into the next glory that they should have years ago. If they'll do it now, if they'll believe him now, he'll use them in something else. Now, they can't do what they missed out on. That ship is sailed. That's gone. All the wonderful people that were there to help them do it, they didn't enter in. If you don't see, as a pastor or any man of God, if you don't enter into that next glory, then you can't take the others with you. And what happens to people? They live their life, they scatter, they die, and that ship is gone. But now God will raise you up to do something else. And it'll be great. And remember this, the last moment preachers will do a heavy work, and they'll be rewarded like people that's been on the field all day. So trust is still very relevant. And I used to get sad knowing pastors that didn't enter into the greater glories that God prepared for. And it bothered me so much. And it was so much I wanted to share, and I couldn't. I couldn't tell them nothing but what God gave me. God gave me a protocol. Now, there were some things I could have told them if they asked. And I used to be praying that they'll ask, but they wouldn't. Now, that may not make sense to you, but I know why God did that. He still hides from the wise and prudent, even his own people. Even though he don't do anything unless he revealed it to his prophets, that's true. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you entering into your next glory. You must be trained for it by the Holy Spirit. You have to get rid of old mindsets. My holiness mind had to be adjusted, just like when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My Methodist mind had to be dealt with. It had to be adjusted. Only God can make those adjustments for you and help you. He knows how you think. It's very necessary. Everything that's a challenge, because you're doing whatever you do for God is public. It's going to become public knowledge. and other people are not doing it, you may be the pioneer. And for that reason, people don't want the stigma. They want to be accepted by others. And, you know, they were doing good till God told them, gave them this weird assignment. You know, just like, you know, from our standpoint, Peter, why don't you just do what Jesus said and take all the nets out there and dump them and catch the load? Well, that had never been done before. In a way, Peter was right. He's a professional fisherman. This is not what we do. But at your word, I'll do. And now we're looking at it through the eyes of Jesus. But when you look at it through the eyes of Peter, Peter wasn't all wrong. But he gave us something through the partial obedience. His partial trust helped us get our example is this. If you do what God say do, you're going to be fine. You don't have to know how it's going to work. That's not important, but you have to obey him. Peter learned. Now, the next time God told him to do something, he got on board more and more. When God rebuked him, when he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, you don't ever see Peter trying when he said, not so, Lord. He didn't do that no more. When he denied Jesus, Jesus told him the devil's going to try to sift your mind as wheat. And when you're strengthened, strengthen your brothers. Peter cooperated. He wrote 1 Peter. He got his mind right. When we enter into a greater glory, we'll get our bearings back. But God, you know, you got it. The theme of all this, the dynamics of trust is this. Trust God like a babe. Not like a teenager. Trust him like a babe. Some teenagers trust their parents, and they don't do the dumb stuff. They want to, but they obey their parents, and then when everything go right, they're glad they listen. I did, and I did some things I shouldn't have done. I did things that I tried to hide from my parents. I did some sins, but when I got saved, I thank God for all the times I did listen, and I regretted the times I didn't listen. But see, you can trust God as a babe from now on, and you'll always enter into the next glory of God's will for your life. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.